right, y'all, we're back with Community Matters. It's your girl, Super Cindy. Hope you're having a great Sunday, and we are giving you some amazing information regarding sealing and expungement, the workshops. In the building, I have Michael J. Sass, who's the state attorney of the 17th Judicial Circuit, Maria Schneider, who's the assistant state attorney in charge of felony trial and juveniles, and Lisa Lee Arnaud, who's the community outreach director. Well, we've been talking about the sealing and expungement workshop, so I would like to announce your next sealing and expungement one-stop shop, because last segment we were speaking about how everything is under one roof. The sealing and expungement is a process, people. You're listening. It is a process, but how about going to one of these workshops, a one-stop shop, and everything is under one roof, and then the next thing is up to you of mailing off the check and then waiting for the next process. The next sealing and expungement one-stop shop, it's for adult and juveniles in collaboration with Brenda Foreman, the clerk of the courts. It's happening Thursday, March 15th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Doors close promptly at 7 p.m. So make sure you are in that line, but no later than 7 p.m. The earlier, the better. And you must bring your picture ID. It is required. It'll be held at the Urban League of Broward County, 560 Northwest 27th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale.
We want to stress that as long as you're in line by 7 o'clock, you know, people work and they got to, you know, take care of their kids and something, but as long as they get there by 7 o'clock and they're in line, you know, we're going to be there until the line ends and everybody is served. So I'm glad you gave kudos to the clerk's office, Brenda Foreman, and of course, Sheriff Israel has his people there. And
Because you said everyone volunteers at this, from the police officers to the lawyers to everybody.
And even you advertising it, big shout out and kudos to you, Cindy, because ever since you started advertising, we've partnered with people in the community, but ever since you started advertising it, we've seen a major influx of people coming from 99 Jam.
That's
so
awesome.
I'd like to thank Cox Media for supporting us, as well as volunteering to put this information on air, because you really are, you have no clue how you are helping the community. And I reached out to you last time just to kind of show you how many people signed in, and they said they were coming because they heard it on 99 Jam.
Oh yeah, Lisa sent me pictures of the sign-up sheet. I was
fantastic. Because of you, and I really appreciate your efforts and your help your commitment to the community. So thank you.
No worries. We just want to help.
Yeah, it's really great. And there's a lot of people that, you know, elected officials and, as Lisa said, community activists.
I would love to come to. I'll be at the next one. I really want to see the process and help wherever
I can. It really is. It's special. And we realized that the first time there was a lady who was a school teacher. And she qualified. She had a possession of marijuana, I guess, you know, when she was college age.
16, 18.
You know, it didn't affect her employment or anything else. It just on her mind,
at the wrong time, it'll come
there,
up.
And she got it, you know, expunged. And she stood up and started screaming and dancing, and she was so very happy. She just realized she didn't know how to do it. You know, she didn't have time. You know, the money was important to her, you know, paying a lawyer. So she was so happy. And
that's what I want to ask you. Do the laws change with the times?
Yes.
Because everything changes, and social media makes you think it changes per second, which it kind of does. But do the judges and everybody who makes the laws, are they aware of what's going on?
Well, the legislature passes the law. And, you know, they serve the public, and they become aware, you know, of certain things. You know, for instance, restoration of rights. You know,
that is big.
When someone, you know, completes their probation or their jail time or their prison time and they pave their debt, you know, their rights should be restored.
They could vote.
Sure.
Right?
You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, affect somebody. You know, people make mistakes. They even do wrong things. That doesn't mean they should be penalized forever. They very well could be, you know, great assets to their family, to our community. And I think employers should be very aware that just because someone has made a mistake, or been to prison or been to jail, that doesn't mean that they can't be a great asset to their company, to their firm, to be a wonderful employee. And I think, you know, the community has to be educated to give people
a second chance
to succeed. Because if you have no chance, and, it, you know, what's available to you.
Then they feel pressure to go do something
else.
So
just looking at a piece of paper and saying, oh, this person has been to jail or to prison, I'm not going to interview him, I'm going to cut the list down, is inappropriate. He's doing himself or herself a disservice because you're not getting someone who has learned their lesson and will be a better employee for it. They're doing a disservice to the person who at least deserves an opportunity, a chance to succeed. That's so important. We can't be caught up by paperwork, by what's on a piece of paper. What's in a person's heart? What's in their soul? What's in their mind?
Yeah, there definitely should be education regarding that. I also wanted to ask you, when you have a record, what are the effects? What does it affect? Does it affect, you know, when you want to move somewhere, get an apartment, a job? Like, what are the things that it affects?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, someone who says, well, I'm not going to rent to you because you have a record. It could prevent getting a certificate that would help you get employment. You know, you can't control what private employers think or do, so it can prevent employment, housing, all kinds of things that, you know, when you get in trouble, you may not realize that this is something that's going to be an obstacle
long-term
for you
effect.
In the future. Beauticians, I think we had one lady that...
They have trouble getting certificates, all kinds of different things.
Wait, so if I'm a beautician, a hairstylist, and it may stop me from getting like one of the certificates I get.
Well,
I can get something
it
like that.
You know, the bottom line is that it really depends on the particular agency.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can't speak, and I don't know
broadly
we should speak for all agencies. But I can tell you that there are certain types of agencies that do consider that against you. But Mr. Sands is 100% right that, you know, it can affect you in so many different ways. You know, having a record, you know, we know that there are employments. There's been a move called, you know, ban the box. And there are employers who have an employment application that you fill out online. And the minute you check that you have been arrested, the screen goes dark. You know, how sad is that? You know, what if you were arrested and you were the wrong person? What if you were arrested and, you know, it all turned out to be a big mistake?
But that's why people tend to lie on their applications, to be honest with you. But that does catch up with you too, right, eventually?
It does, but I think one of the things that we need to do is to shame those businesses who are that close-minded that they will not look at an individual and the individual's circumstances.
Is there a list or website where we can find out those type of businesses? I wish there was.
I don't think we put it on the website, but perhaps we should, Lisa. Yeah.
I think that would be an amazing idea, and we can highlight them. Like.
And then if any employers who are listening is willing, and they're willing to hire someone who has a
record, give us a call.
Please let us know.
Or
join
our list. Or they can call you, and you can call us.
Yeah,
tell us. We can begin to develop a better database so that we can have that posted there. If, you know, there's an employer out there who believes the same thing that Mr. Sass
believes
in giving second chances, please contact us. Let us know at the state attorney's office.
During the break, we were discussing something, and I was like, please share this with the audience. Explain the whole temporary restraining order situation.
That has been a real, you know, eye-opener for us. As a result of doing these workshops, of course, we have all kinds of people who come in asking for different things. And we have consistently found that there are people who are coming in seeking to seal or expunge that someone got a temporary restraining order against them. The restraining order process, by the way, is civil.
Okay.
And because it's civil, it's not a crime, we can't seal or expunge it. But it has having, we find, because these people are telling us, some really significant consequences in their lives. If someone wants to get a restraining order, they basically come in and they fill out an affidavit. They're swearing that it's true. And in that affidavit, they set out the reasons why they think this person poses a threat to them. They've been, you know, physically abusive to them or, you know, whatever the circumstances are. The court, if it is sufficient, grants a temporary restraining order and schedules a hearing where then the person who the restraining order is granted against comes in. Quite often, once that happens, either the parties have cooled or the court finds that, you know, maybe things were a little exaggerated, they weren't exactly what they were, or maybe they found that they were completely truthful. I'm certainly not, you know, trying to impugn the integrity of anybody who's applied for a temporary restraining order. It's a very valuable tool, and there are some people who very desperately need it, and it has saved lives. But sometimes, you know, there are occasions when that's not the case. And then the judge dissolves the temporary restraining order. It never becomes a final order. Well, That's on your record. People can find that out.
Wow.
And what happens, we find, for housing, there are a lot of condominium associations, apartment buildings, who will run somebody's record and sees, oh, no, they had a temporary restraining order. And what are they assuming? They're assuming, oh, my God, there's going to be drama here. And nobody wants drama, right, in their apartment building. So they won't rent to a person. And, you know, that's pretty significant if you don't have access to housing. And unfortunately, there is no legal vehicle right now for us to take that off somebody's record.
So that's not part of the sealing and expungement.
No, because it's not a criminal offense. We can't do it. We have actually, Mr. Satz has reached out to legislators, has discussed this with him, and we're hoping that we're going to get some of our very concerned and very involved legislators, local legislators, who are going to champion this. And again, it has to be a well-thought-out and well-crafted law because, you know,
there's loopholes and they're going to try to find them.
And you want to make sure, you know, that the information is available when it's needed, but that it's not available when it's not justified. So, I mean, you can't just do it quickly, but it needs to be done and it needs to be addressed. It's really significant. And I've been very saddened that we can't do a thing for them because it's a civil, you know, proceeding. And, you know,
but if it's not a crime, why does it stay on your record? Like after it's been.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, don't you get if you missed a payment on your credit card.
Right.
People
can
find that out, you know?
Right, sure.
I mean,
it's crazy.
We live in an era of such access to information.
Can people from Dade County, West Palm Beach, can they also come to the workshop?
They can. They can be from anywhere if the arrest occurred in Broward County.
So explain all the programs that you offer.
Well, you know, we started out about 20 years ago with diversion programs. Mm-hmm. And we have, thanks to the wonderful resources that we have available in Broward County, the Children's Services Council being one of them, the Children's Services Council provides funding to different organizations who basically put on programs to help kids who have, like we said before, got into trouble for lower level offenses. And what they do is that they just go through a course of treatment, and afterwards we just don't file a case against them. So they avoid having a record in that sense. But we have more than that. At one point we realized that there were a lot of kids who were being arrested in the school system. You know, you got a bunch of kids together, you're going to get, you know, you're going to get fights, you're going to get somebody punching somebody, you're going to get somebody taking somebody's, you know, wallet or phone or what have you. So you have a lot of petty crime that happens within the school system. And all of these kids were getting arrested and they were being, you know, processed by the juvenile justice system, which, you know, although it has a lesser thumbprint on your life than an adult arrest, still has, you know, effect, and certainly for a certain period of time. So we, many community stakeholders, including the sheriff's office, Fort Lauderdale Police, the school district, the public defender's office, and ourselves, and the fact that there's problem behavior.
Yeah.
But how do we address it without bringing it into the formal justice system? And we basically created or came up with a program that goes by the acronym of PROMISE. And the goal is that we identified 13 different acts of misbehavior. 11 of them are that would qualify as misdemeanor offenses. And up to 3 times in any school year that a kid gets in trouble within the school system, it can be in the school or at a bus stop or, you know, anything that has to do with the school, rather than getting referred to law enforcement, the child receives basically school disciplinary actions and not suspensions, because we know that, you know, the kids who act out, especially the younger ones that act out, generally aren't doing well in school. And if you're not doing well in school and we suspend you from school and we keep you out of school for a whole bunch more days, well, how are you ever going to do well in school?
That
just puts you further behind, you know, and putting you further behind is, you know, obviously against, you know, the ultimate goal. So what happens is that the school district has developed a bunch of different ways of dealing with the misbehaviors, depending on what they are, but keeps the kids in the school system. It avoids having them processed through the juvenile justice system, and it keeps them in school so that they don't fall behind and they don't end up, you know, eventually not graduating. So the PROMISE program has been extremely successful.
That's
awesome. We went from having a really significant number of arrests per year for school year that were school-based to having a really, really, I mean, it's been, I don't want to be misquoted if somebody's listening out there. I don't remember exactly what the percentage is, mm-hmm. but it's as high as 70 to 80% reduction. So, I mean, wow. When I say significant,
definitely
I'm talking
an impact.
Significant. It might even be more.
So, Attorney Satz, you were talking earlier about using the word
charged.
Charged yes. and arrested yeah. for, or yeah. what do you
we
charge
all,
for?
Yeah,
please
we all
explain
sit around,
that.
We use the same kind of language, but it has different meaning.
Because I watch live PD a lot,
right.
and they're like, what am I being charged for?
Right,
so
right.
please explain what
okay.
that is.
When the police, they arrest you.
Okay.
And it's common for us to say, oh, what were you been charged with?
Okay.
What have you been arrested for?
There's a difference.
It's different. Mm-hmm. Because the state attorney or the DA in other jurisdictions, mm-hmm. they file the formal charges. That's when you're formally charged, either by formal document in the state of Florida, state mm-hmm. courts is an information, mm-hmm. or in the federal system, an indictment, or in state court can be indictment for certain offenses. Mm-hmm. So there is where you're formally charged.
So when you're getting the handcuffs on you, you haven't been charged
no,
with
you've
anything.
Been,
you've been arrested.
The officer has arrested you on certain charges. Certain statute violations mm-hmm. that's illegal, mm-hmm. but he's or she is arresting you. They're not the formal charges. So you can be arrested for three or four things. Mm-hmm. The state attorney in, you know, whatever jurisdiction can say, well, I don't think there's sufficient evidence for two of these arrests, so we're only going to, you know, file charges on these two where there's sufficient probable cause.
Everyone, if you have any questions, I always tell everyone, just come out anyways. Mm-hmm. You don't have to bring anything but a photo ID. We have all the computers in the computer system and access to your files. Come out and let someone who knows what they're talking about sit with you and go over your files, so that way you're not walking around with this dark cloud over your head wondering.
Or asking your neighbor.
Yeah, or asking people who don't know. Yeah, you're asking your friend who did time and you think that mm-hmm. person knows and they don't. Come to us. We can definitely help you. We have the resources. We don't charge you anything that day again. All we ask of you is just to give us your time and your ID so we can just make sure you are who you say you are. Mm-hmm. We'll search you in the system and hopefully you'll have a good experience. And whether or not you get your record sealed or expunged, again, you get to walk out of there with answers. And I think mm-hmm. at the end of the day, that's the most important thing.
Peace.
Tell all your friends, tell mm-hmm. all your family members. The next one, again, is going to be March 15th. And of course, Super Cindy will announce it another time.
Yeah.
The Urban League of Broward, it's 560 Northwest 27th Avenue. It's right off Sistrunk in Fort Lauderdale. Doors will open at 3 p.m. and they will close promptly at 7. And you can just Google State Attorney Broward County and our website will pop up.
It's all private and confidential.
It is.
And I suggest you go. Again, of course, on the morning show, I will be announcing the Sealing and Expungement One-Stop Shop Workshop. Again, it's Thursday, March 15th, 3 to 7 at the Urban League of Broward County. I'll be giving you that information. And I'd like to thank my guests, State Attorney Michael J. Satz, also Maria Schneider, who is the Assistant State Attorney in charge of Felony Trial and Juveniles, and Lisa Lee Arnaud, who's the Community Outreach Director. Thank you guys so much for being on Community
Matters. You're
welcome.
Matters. Thanks for having us.
The information has been priceless. Trust me. Your girl, Super Cindy. Speak to you Monday. 99 Jams.